chapter 3. And we're going to look in here just really quick here this evening. And I'm still going to hammer down on that thought just a little bit about it being New Year and what we should be doing getting ready for it as we're already into it. Joshua chapter 3. And Bible gives a verse here. I hope everybody got started in your Bible. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I know we had a lot of folks start reading the Bible, going through the Bible all the way through. And look at it this way. If you don't even make it, if you read 10 chapters, you've done better than most people. And if you make it through Genesis, you know more of the Bible than most people in the world. Most people are ignorant of the Bible. And the reason they are is the devil keeps them away from it. The devil will keep you away from God's Word. You have to make yourself look at it and study it, because the flesh and the world and the devil is pulling you away from the Bible. You'd be surprised how ignorant people are of the Bible. You would be shocked. Get out and talk to them about it. And Lord, they have no idea in this world. They think God's some Santa Claus sitting up in the sky somewhere, ready to bless you if you do something good. Joshua chapter 3, right quick. The Bible said, verse 4, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." You have not passed this way heretofore. We're going somewhere we've never been. It's 2015. And as we do that, I preached this morning about the Bible and how we need to stay in our Bible in the year 2015. I believe that. And I believe we ought to go by the Bible. I don't believe it's time to trade it in for some new philosophy. There's no telling what we're going to see this year. There is no telling. I've heard them talking about chips and microchips and pets and kids and everything to keep track. I guess that sounds like a pretty good idea, really. If you got a dog, put a chip in it and it can't get lost. And then right on to the kids, and then on to mom and daddy, on the whole family. We see the world getting ready tonight for what God said would take place. One reason why I believe the Bible is everything is happening just like it said that it would in the Bible. And so tonight I'd like to just give us a little bit of instruction for this new year. And just three or four things right quick. Won't be long and we'll go. Okay? Somebody said this. "Another year is dawning, a path unknown, untried. It would fill me with foreboding had I had no hand to guide. But He who walked beside me all through yesteryear, whatever may betide me, He's promised to be near. Another year with Jesus, then no dread I know. His love is ever precious, how the winds may blow. Even when the storm is fiercest, in Him my soul may rest and find sweet peace and comfort upon His loving breast. Another year to trust Him. Yes, I can trust Him still. He who's never yet failed me, as I have sought His will. His rod and staff He giveth to be my strength and stay. And tenderly He leadeth along the homeward way. Another year to serve Him, to labor for Him here, even while the shadows lengthen and night is drawing near. I know not when He'll call me to lay my sickle aside, but oh, may I then be faithful while now the moments do fly. Another year to love Him, whom I have loved so long. Another year to praise Him in glad, triumphant song. Whatever the future holdeth of sorrow, pain, and toil, His precious love endureth forevermore the same until. Another year with Jesus, I thank Thee, Lord, today for Thy unfailing presence along life's rugged way. Guide me, O blessed Redeemer. Teach me to do Thy will and Thine own perfect purpose in each day fulfill." That would be our prayer for this year. I would pray for everybody in here tonight that the Lord would bless you in the new year. Bless you in your work. Bless you in your family. Bless you in your body, in your health. My prayer would be God would bless everybody in here. I hope you have a good, prosperous year. Do you know, I was singing the other night when I was down in Alabama and it turned New Year. I was thinking, you know what? There may be sad days coming this year. There may be dark days coming this year. There may be days that we never dreamed we'd face coming this year. There may be great days coming this year. Nobody knows that but God. So what we need to do is stay right with the Lord and go, this may be my last year. I don't know. We may have many more. I don't know. This may be our last year as in America as we know it. We don't know. We may have many more to go. We don't know. But one thing we know is that the same God that took us through 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, 99, 98, on back will be the same God that takes care of us in 2015. I'm trusting Him tonight to take care of me. I'm trusting the Lord to take care of me. Now, there's a few things we need to do, and I'll just name them to you right quick, okay? Just very, very brief and plain. Number one, we ought to take a new walk down the old road. We ought to take a new walk down the old road. What does that mean, preacher? It means Jeremiah 6:16. He said, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And ye shall find rest for your soul. Now, we need to take a new walk down the old road. I know a lot of times preachers get up and preach about how we ought to live like the old days, and you're sitting there thinking, not me. I don't want to go back no horse and buggy. I don't either. I'm not saying, I ain't talking about that. I don't want to ride a horse and buggy. I know I like air conditioning. I mean, brother, I like electricity in our homes. I like being able to turn a button and heat come on. I like to have a car with windows and seats and a stereo and all that stuff. I'm not talking about going back in time. But the way we believe and the way we live, it wouldn't hurt us a bit to go back to some of the old paths that our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers had. You know as well as I know, most of you here tonight had a great-grandmother that loved the Lord. My grandma, Grandma Bean, she loved the Lord. My mom's family's from Spruce Pine, and is good, old, godly people. And if they come back and they seen the world today, they would not believe this world that we're living in. That's how much the world's changed just in the last 20 years. I'm going to say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a new walk down the old road. I heard a lady say not too long ago, she had a daughter getting up about 18 or 19, and she said, well, you know, she said, it's the day we're living in. I told my daughter, if she's going to date boys, she could use protection, and that she should be careful, and she should make her choices wisely and stuff, because you know, that's just the way they're going to do it. It's unrealistic to believe that kids are going to think that's the attitude that Christian people have today. Let me tell you, back in the old days, back in the last generation, one before that, they believed it was possible to do right. They believed you could live right. They believed young people could live right. And I want to say to all you young people here tonight, all y'all over in here and y'all back in there tonight, you can live for God. You can live right. You don't have to do like everybody else does. You don't have to smoke pot. You don't have to drink beer. You don't have to get on drugs. You don't have to go down that road and just find out what it's like. You can stay clean and stay right and keep your heart right with God. Just cause somebody else messed up don't mean you gotta mess up. Thank God. Take a new walk down the old road here in 2015. Amen. Lord have mercy, it's amazing. It's amazing how bad this world got. You know, they said years ago, Bob Jones Sr. and them old preachers, they was talking about the movies, people going to movies, and the worst thing in the movies was Roy Rogers kissed his horse. That was the most wicked thing in it. And nowadays, Roy Rogers is so boring, nobody won't even watch it. It's come a long way. Our generation has seen this world drop to its lowest ebb morally. And by the way, we can't expect God to bless America and fix the problems of this nation as long as we're spitting in His face and walking over His Word and saying, we don't care what you say. We want you to bless us, but you're not going to tell us how to live. We'll do what we want to do. It don't work that way. I'm telling you tonight, we can still have God's blessing if we'll walk down the old road. Amen. You know, in the Bible, young women were taught by the older women to love their husbands, be the keepers of the home. Men were taught to respect the woman, to be good to her, to provide for her, to love his wife, like Christ loved the church. That's the way they used to believe. You don't find many people believe that way nowadays. The ladies come out, they want equal rights, equal rights, equal rights. And I believe, you know, I don't believe there's a difference in the sexes. I believe if a woman does the same work a man works, makes the same amount of money. I'm not stupid. I don't believe men are better than women and everything like that. But boy, the ladies really done themselves a bad deal when they demand it. Then they want to go fight the army. Then they want to go, listen, I'm telling you, if I was a woman, I'd let him take care of me and open my door and buy my food and put a roof on my head. Lord have mercy. I take all that I get. Amen. Nowadays, it's you open the door for me. You take me out. You be good to me. You pay for everything. But you're crazy if you think you're going to tell me anything. See, it's one-sided. They want what they want, but they don't want. They say, well, you're supposed to love me like Christ loved the church. Yeah, and you're supposed to obey Him like Christ did, like the church does Christ. Don't like that part, do you? Well, I don't think you think that other part means what it says. Lord, I have no idea I was going to say none of this tonight. I ain't even said nothing in my notes. Y'all must be in bad shape here tonight. There must be some awful rebellion going on right here. Probably on this front row right here. People sit on the front are the biggest hypocrites in the whole church. You know that, don't you? I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. I've always heard that. These people claim to be preachers. Got their whole family set up here. Probably some kind of cult. There I am. I'm just kidding with you. I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't hurt us to not take a new walk down the old road. Let me ask you a question. Why do you even go to church? That's a good question. Why do you even go? I don't know. I run out there in Sunday school, and there'd be about six or eight big old teenage boys, and they're standing there like this. They look like something wrong with them. They're standing there like this. Smoking. Out there. And I go out there, and it's during Sunday school, and it's freezing. I said, boys, get in here and get your blessing. I don't want to go in there. Why don't you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and ride a bus an hour and a half and come stand outside? And then ride a bus an hour and a half back. Does that make any sense? Why do you go to church? Why are you even here tonight? Well, some go take a walk. Some go to laugh and talk. Some go to meet a friend. But some go their time to spend. Some go to meet a lover. Some go a fault to cover. Some go for speculation. Some go for observation. Some go to doze and nod. But others go to worship God. Why do you go to church? Don't you think it'd be a good idea if we took a new walk down the old road? Lord have mercy. He was talking about when he got saved. Man, when he was talking about getting saved, that was good. Couldn't you feel the old time? The old time. People nowadays don't have much of that anymore. You know, as a matter of fact, it's pitiful how ignorant and starved people are of just old time religion. Stuff we take for granted. Stuff we know. Somebody got saved. Somebody shouted. Somebody raised their hand. Somebody got a blessing. Somebody got the prayers answered. We take it for granted. The rest of the world don't even have that. Or to take a new walk down the old road. Amen. Boys ought to learn how to respect females, ladies. Treat them like a lady. Respect them. Don't talk. Don't talk. You know, used to then people used to say, don't talk that way in front of a girl. Nowadays, they ain't got no more respect for the girls than they do the boys anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to take a new walk down the old road. The new morality ain't nothing but the old immorality. That's all it is. They don't tell you anything about the new morality. It's the old immorality. There's nothing new under the sun. There's just new inventions to sin with that people didn't used to have. That's the only difference. And now, 5,000 years ago, just more inventions to sin with. I'm going to tell you, listen, whatever happened to just being honest? Whatever happened to just paying your bills? just paying your bills. I mean, as a man told me in Marion, I talked to him one day on the phone. He said, "Oh, so and so, he claims to be a Christian." He said, "But he owes everybody in Marion and won't pay them." And that reputation followed that preacher. And he thought a lot of times, well, if a man runs a tire store, he ought to just let me have tires. And if a man runs a bakery, he ought to just give me bread because I'm a preacher. Now, if they want to do something for you, that's fine. But just because he's a preacher, don't give him a free pass. As a matter of fact, he ought to be super honest in paying his bills and treating people right. Because people notice stuff like that. And they notice about you being a Christian, too. I mean, I try to pay my bills. I mean, if I owe anybody money and I forgot it, don't let me know. Please don't come up and say I do, because I don't think I forgot it. To be honest. If I borrow $20 from Jeremy and I say, "I'll pay you back next Sunday, I ought to walk up and give him $20. And if I can't, now if I can, I'm supposed to. But if I can't, I walk up and say, "Brother, I had some bad luck this week. I'm sorry. Is it all right if I wait till next Sunday?" And face the man and do right. Amen. Don't go like this, you know, and walk down the other side of the church, because he knows what you're doing. I mean, he knows you're trying to avoid him. Have you ever had anybody do like that? You know, they're walking around hoping that you won't remember. Listen, brother, if you owe them money, they ain't going to forget it. I promise you that. Listen, we need to take an old walk, a new walk down the old road. We need to have a new willingness with the old wallet. Ain't that right? I mean, you know, you get right with God. One way you know you're backsliding, you start holding back on that. I'll never forget. I tell this story every now and then. One time I had Corey, when she was about, I guess, 2 years old, at a bar there in the kitchen, and not a bar. I mean, you know, it looks like a cabinet. People call it a bar, but it ain't a bar. I promise you that. And she was sitting there. I set her down there. And I said, "Honey, sir, I had some money laying there." And I went in here and done something like that. And I came back in there. And she took a $20 bill and $10 bill, and she just was tearing it up like this. She's going, and she had it to me, $30. And I mean, that was a long time ago. That's 25 years ago, and $30 would be about like $200 now. And I come in there and I said, "Ah! I didn't know!" No, she went like that. She tore that $30 all to pieces. I started trying to figure out, see if I could get it back together. I was going to put tape on it. I said, "I can't even figure out. It's all to pieces." And I thought, "Oh my goodness," I got mad. I said, "I can't believe you." And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, "Now, Danny," he said, "when your heart was right," he said, "that's the way $30 you. It didn't mean anything to you. It didn't mean nothing." I said, That's right. You're right." And I thought, you know, when we're right with God, money, when you're really right, money, they ain't that big of a deal to you. There's more important things in life, like your family and love and getting along with each other and peace and your health. Thank God we can get money. Thank God I hope everybody in here gets rich. There ain't nothing wrong with it. I hope you make $1 million this week. But it will not satisfy the deep longing of your soul. Make sure you get that from Jesus. Amen. Make sure you get that from the Lord. Take a new willingness with the old wallet. That old wallet. Like one preacher said, he said, "You know, you got them hundreds stuck down in that special little place in that wallet. You know, that way if your wife gets your billfold, something, she'll look and, why, he ain't got but $15, poor old thing. And you got that hundred stash down in there. I see guilty faces all over here, this place." And she does too. She does too. Don't let her fool you. Don't let her. Turn around and ask her right now, "Have you got some money stashed somewhere that I don't know about?" No, don't. Better not do that. Everybody does. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But we want everybody to think, "Lord, we're broke and we're barely making it and everything." But you know, we need a new willingness with the old wallet. Given it shall be given unto you. God will bless you. I know people sing through their false nose, false teeth. keep them wearing their teeth out. They sing through their nose, keep them wearing their false teeth out. Sing through their teeth, keep them wearing their nose out. All right. Thirdly tonight, we need a new zeal for the place of prayer. We need a new zeal for the place of prayer. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight. The hardest thing for me to stay dedicated to is a real prayer life. It really is. Now, as you know, it's January. I can already feel the youth rally coming on. It seems like it's far away in December, and all of a sudden it's January. We've crossed the top of the hill. When you cross the top of the hill, we're going down now. You know, the days are already starting to get longer. We'll be this week just a little bit, by a few minutes a day. We're headed down the other side, people. Now, I know it ain't snowed yet or nothing. You don't feel like it, but we're already, we've crossed the top of the hill. Christmas is just like 4th of July. After 4th of July, you start going down the other side of the hill, back towards school starting. Christmas, top of the hill. January 1st, we're going down the other side. February. It ain't going to be but 4 weeks, so it's February. When it's February, we have Groundhog Day. Last of February, we start seeing some nice weather. I'm going to tell you something, brother. The youth rally will be here before we know it. Before we know it. And it's already in my mind. I'm thinking, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh dear Lord. And I've thought about this, and I've thought about that, and I've thought about this, and I've thought about that. And I said, God, help me. You know what? You know what I need to do? You know what I need to do? I want you to pray for me that I'll pray for you. How's that? Pray for me that I'll pray for you and that you'll pray for me. I tell you what I need to do. We need to get some time. Get in that prayer closet. The hardest thing for me to do faithfully in my Christian life is really, really pray. I'm talking about spending time in prayer. It's hard. I fast irregular with no problem. 25 years this year almost. 25 years I've been fasting. One day a week. Just about every week. That would be 52 days a year or a month and a half every year. And over 20 years, that's a long time. And most of the time, 24 hours, 28 hours, or then it's 36 hours. And I can do that. I don't like it, but I do it. I feel like I've got to do it. I need God's help in my life. I feel like on my life and my ministry and the things I've been through and the trouble the devil's brought on my life, I feel like I've got to fast. I've got to help me. Can't make it. But I'm telling you what, I'll get down and I'll pray. And I'll say, oh God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, I pray. And I'll have a good time of prayer. And I say, man, that was a blessing. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do that again tomorrow. And then the next day the phone rings. Or somebody knocks on the door. Or this happens. Or you get down and you're so sleepy you can't stand it. Or you remember you got to do this. And you remember you got to do that. And you remember you got to do something else. And you remember you got to... And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be long till you've wasted your whole day and you ain't prayed but about 2 minutes. That ain't good, people. That ain't good. We need to take a new place at the place of prayer. We need to take a new look at the place of prayer. We need to get down and get a new zeal for the place of prayer. We need to get down and say, dear God, listen, everybody in here tonight, you make time for everything else. You make time to eat. You make time to get on the computer. You make time to watch a ball game. You make time to... Let's make time and get down and say, oh God, Lord God, send us to you. I'm telling you, wouldn't it be a blessing if every one of us here tonight got a burden? It's January, February, March, April, 4, 3, 12, 100... It's about 110 days, I'm guessing, close to it, until the youth rally. I'm going to tell you, wouldn't it be a blessing if every one of us said, dear God, we're going to pray... We're going to pray. By the time the youth rally comes, it'll be so thick the people will feel. One man told me that one time. He said, when we drove up on the property, he said, we felt the Lord. He said, we felt conviction, Brother Danny. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I hope it's so thick in there. Them young people will outbreak and mamas and daddies will get right and souls will be saved. We need to take, I got a new zeal for the place of prayer. Quickly tonight. We need to take a new sight at some old saints. Need to get a new look. Here's what the Bible says. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing tonight if everybody was nice to each other? Lord, have mercy. We didn't think we were something. I'm talking about people thinking they're special. I'm not special. You're not special. I've got a job. You got a job. I ain't no better than nobody else. People say, a preacher told me this week, he said, we had a preacher in, independent, fundamental, soul-winning, of a well-known preacher, most strong independent Baptist preachers, know his name if I call him. He said, Brother Danny, I had him down for 2 days. He said, our church don't have that much money. He said, we only run about 150 people. He said, 100 on Sunday morning. And he said, our church don't have much money. He said, I booked this guy. He said he's going to be in the area, so he didn't have to have a plane ticket. And he said, I had him come. And he said, you listen? He said, before that big shot preacher got there, Brother Dusty, he said he got a packet in the mail from that man's secretary. And that man's secretary said, here's where he likes to stay. He says to stay in the Hampton Inn. Wow, wow, wow. Little baby afraid he's going to get dirty or something? Has to stay in the Hampton Inn. Now, don't get me wrong. If a church has a preacher in and they want to treat him nice, put him in the Hampton Inn, praise God, that's great. But there's something wrong with a man that says, I have to stay in the Hampton. $100 a night. And they said he likes steak and fish. If you take him out to eat. 2 days. And he said the man came. He got him a room in Hampton. Cost him $300. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And he said, we took up money. He said, Brother Danny, we did the best we could. And he said, I come up to him. He said, preach 2 days. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He said, I walked up and gave him $500. And said, Brother, this is the best we can do. And said, he looked at me like, I can't believe this. Now that is the shape we've got ourselves in. Buddy, I remember the day when a man's called to preach, he'd pay you to get to come go somewhere to preach. Don't take me wrong. Listen, I think we ought to be good to God's men. When we have these men in here, we're going to be good to them. I think it's all good and proper and right. The Bible said they're worthy of double honor. I'm not against that. But there's something wrong with a Christian celebrity who says, I won't come to your church unless you give me some. Now, you know, I know you got to have traveling expenses. I ain't stupid. I understand that. And these singing groups that they got to have some. I understand that. But there's something wrong with a man that says, I ain't paying a penny for this. You flew me down here and $500 ain't enough for me. What in the world has happened to us? We need to take a new sight. That's some old saints. I heard this man talking to me, and they'd got mad and left their church. Is it that bad, brother? I'll be through here in just a little bit. They'd had a little trouble in their church, and they had two or three families left or something like that. And I talked to this guy. He said, boy, that church is going down. He said, oh, Lord. He said, I heard everybody's leaving. I heard they've all quit. And it had me tore up. And about 6 months later, I went down there and preached where they had their annual meeting. And it was packed full and people shouting the walls down. I said, something's wrong here. Same thing happened to a friend of mine over in Lenore. And y'all know who I was talking about. They had some trouble. Some of the preachers got mad at this preacher and they had a big blow up. It wasn't a split, but it was a little fragment, you know, and they had a little, that happens everywhere, sooner or later, and they had some people leave, and somebody told me, they said, Lord, his church is all to pieces, and ain't nobody goes there no more. And I saw that preacher not long after that. He said, Brother Danny, we got a little group out going on Saturday, and he said, we've knocked on 9,000 doors in the last few months. 9,000 doors when somebody sitting over here ain't even going to church regular talking bad about them. Now, the moral of that story is, be careful who you talk to on the phone. Be careful who you let put junk in your head. And be careful on Nosebook nowadays, I should say. And be careful because people will poison your mind about people. And you need to take a new sight as some old saints. people spend half as much time praying for people as they did running their mouth about them, we might see a revival happen. Last thing I'll say, and I'm done. We need to get a new burden for some old sinner. We need to get a new burden for some old sinner. I said praying's the hardest thing to do. You want me to tell you what else is hard in the Christian life? Is to keep a burden to praying for people that's not saved. We'll get a burden and we'll have a dream about them dying, going to hell or something. Boy, we'll get an altar and we'll pray, oh God, please save them. And that lasts 3 or 4 days. And then you just, you know, anybody got any prayer? Yeah, pray my brother. He's not saved. Pray my sister. She's not saved. Listen, you heard me this morning. I preached about the Bible. Same Bible tells us about God, Jesus, heaven, hell, about everything else. Tells us that if a person does not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll wind up in hell when they leave this world. They'll stay there forever and ever and ever. We need a new burden. That's right, bus workers, we need to go. We don't need to go less, we need to go more. We don't need to just visit regulars, we need to get new. Every Saturday, bus workers, try to set a goal of 10 new houses or 20 new houses. Just knock on somebody's door. You know what? God will honor a burden for lost sinners. Even if they don't come to our church, give them a tract. Maybe they'll get under conviction. Go some other church and get saved. What it's all about is people getting saved. That's what it's about. That's what matters. That's all that counts. When it's all said and done, that's all going to matter is people going to heaven when they die. Let me tell you, buddy, that's hard to keep straight in your head. Hard to keep straight in your head. If you lined up all the lost people in the world, single file, I think they said it'd reach around the world 33 times. And the line grows, I forgot, so many miles every day. People that's not saved. You're going to come in contact with people that are not saved. Look, you only live once, go ahead and witness. Don't chicken out. Get you some tracts. We brought back a bunch. I think I left them on the bus. I don't know if somebody brought them in or not. They're back there on that table. We brought back some good tracts. Gospel of John, Romans. Everybody get you some when you go out of here tonight. Come and go ahead and throw them a bus route. You'll start up New Year right? Come and go visiting with us this Saturday. We had a good time visiting yesterday. Our bus workers went, and it was a bad day. It was raining and everything, cold and the holiday. And I know it was rough this morning, but I tell you what, it's not in vain. Get you a burden for some old sinner. Get you a burden. If you don't have a burden, pray and ask God to give you one. Lord, my daddy. Lord, my mama. Lord, my brother. My sister. My brother-in-law. My sister-in-law. My cousin. I got one cousin that I'm almost sure has never been saved. He's a hard case. Most of my family on my mom's side have been saved. I hardly ever get to talk to them on my daddy's side. I did call my uncle up in Ohio, my Uncle Tom Castle. And he called me back, and I tried to witness to him a little bit, and I don't think he's ever been saved. And y'all pray for my Uncle Tom. That's my daddy's brother. And my Uncle Bill, his brother, and my dad's other brother, run a car lot up in Columbus, Ohio. It's called Castle's Used Cars. And they're talking, they've all had a trouble with alcohol. Almost every one of them. Almost every one of them. My grandpa, about all my daddy's brothers, just about died because of alcohol. Just about every one of them. Alcohol or drugs. Or alcohol, in their generation, it was all alcohol. This generation, the kids and the grandkids, it's more drugs. But listen, they're dying like crazy. I don't want to sound too plain, but all of us know people whose lives are being destroyed by drugs. And it's like a demon's in that stuff. And the only hope for these people is for go to church and see God in some other people and get under conviction like he's talking about and come to the altar and get saved. That's the only hope they've got. Ain't no therapy, no rehab. As soon as they get out of rehab, they'll right back and do it again. They need something in there to take its place. Let's get a new burden for some old sinner. If you're here tonight, she's playing softly. you're here tonight and your life's messed up. You know what you can do? You can walk down here tonight and get down on your knees. And one of these men here will take the Bible and they'll show you what you've got to do to start out a brand new life. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you're right with God, you're saved, and you say, you know what, preacher? I got a brother, I got a sister, I got somebody. Here we are in 2015. It ain't never going to get no easier. Let's get in this altar and let's pray. God will give us a burden for our loved ones. Let's stand tonight. Come on. Come on. They're coming tonight. You come on. Let the Lord help you. We're not going to have any singing.